Turning this morning then to the passage we read earlier, Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, reading of Philip and the Ethiopian. It's a passage that's rich in instruction and teaching. There's much in there concerning baptism. You see that at the end there, don't we, as Philip baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch on confession of his faith. And we read about them going down into the water and coming out, and there's much instruction that we can receive there about the mode of baptism and who it's for and these matters. But that's not what I want to turn to this morning. What I want us to consider this morning as we look at this passage is simply the conversion of this man, this Ethiopian. The conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. And look at something of the Lord's dealing with us as he calls us to himself. It's a lovely passage that shows us much about the Lord's dealings with his sheep, his people. We've been seeing in the earlier portion, as we've been going through the book of Acts, much about the early church and some of the great occasions when the word of God is preached. We've had the day of Pentecost, we've had Peter there preaching, we've had great crowds of people turning to the Lord. And what a great time that must have been. We've seen the persecution coming and the people being scattered, and this is what happened here, wasn't it, that the people being scattered abroad, but they went about preaching the word, and there were yet more turning to the Lord. And of course now we've seen a message going out to Gentiles, not just residing there in Jerusalem for the Jews, going to all the world, just as the Lord had said it would. And of course we come to this passage today, and here is this one man, this one Gentile man from Ethiopia that we find coming to know the Lord. I want us to see, first of all, as we go through the Lord's dealings here with this man, just a reminder to us, firstly, that the Lord, he seeks his people individually. He has dealings with us personally, at the individual level. It's something that perhaps we lose sight of in the great accounts of crowds being converted, of thousands coming to know the Lord. We pray so often for revival, we'd love to see thousands come into the Lord, but we lose sight of the fact that even there in the crowds, even in great revival, the Lord is dealing with them as individuals. It's not an anonymous great mass of people. The Lord knows those that are his, and he deals with us as individuals. And there in those great crowds, as we've read before, of thousands coming to know the Lord, they were each individually known to the Lord. We come to this passage today and we find that the Lord, he has a purpose to go out and rescue this one man on his own, not there in the crowd. He has a sheep that is lost. We think of those lovely parables of the Lord, how the Lord told that parable of the shepherd, and he'll leave the 99 and he'll go out to seek the one that is lost. And when the Lord sets his love upon us, he sets it upon us individually, one by one. He knows us by name. When the Lord Jesus Christ came and he died for us upon the cross, he died for us individually, not for a mass of mankind, not for an anonymous number of people, but for us as individuals. Particular redemption, he died for us as individuals. He knows us by name, and he seeks us out, and he calls us individually unto himself. And here in this passage here, we have this lovely description of the Lord reaching out now to take hold of this Ethiopian. Here he is on his own, travelling out there as this lost sheep. Here he is, not in amongst the crowd. He's been at Jerusalem. He's been there amongst those people in that land there, but it's not there that the Lord saved him. It says out he's there on his own. There he is travelling out. The Lord, he knows those that are his, and there's no one unknown to him. There's no one who can escape his sight. Nobody who can escape his purposes. And when the Lord has designed and desired to save his sheep, none can escape. None can be lost. And the Lord Jesus is that good shepherd. He goes out seeking his people, seeking to save them, seeking to draw them unto himself. And in all the different circumstances of our lives, we may think of individuals and we feel, well, they're lost. How can the Lord ever reach them? They're not there in the place of blessing. They're not there under the preaching of the word. They're not there here amongst the crowds where there's great revival taking place. But the Lord his arm isn't shortened, that it cannot save. He can reach out into the desert places. He can reach out to those that are wandering in their own pathways. And he does that. And he saves his people one by one, drawing them unto himself. I wonder if there are any here this morning who perhaps are in this category. They may not be, as it were, out on their own like this Ethiopian, travelling on their own and leading a solitary life, maybe in amongst the crowds, but still alone, still a lost sheep, still somebody who needs to be brought to the Lord Jesus. He can do that, and he will do that. And we need to pray, don't we? Pray that the Lord will be gracious in hearing our prayers as we pray for those who have not yet turned to him. And our plea is that people should continue to seek the Lord while he may be found. And the Lord, he has a purpose in drawing people to himself. And here then is that lovely, lovely picture then of this man who is pursued, as it were, by the Lord. But then we notice secondly that because the Lord is here pursuing a man individually, he calls and sends his people to do that great work, to serve him in that way, to be instruments in preaching the word. And there's a reminder to us, isn't there, that as those who know and love the Lord, we need to be those who are ready to go at his bidding, to go to bring a word to the lost. We might look at this situation here and say, well, what an extraordinary thing to do. Here was this man Philip. We've just read in the earlier portion of the book that here he was in Samaria, and he'd been preaching, and there'd been great turning to him. We see that in the earlier part of the chapter there in verse 5. He went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. There was a great work going on there. There were great numbers of people listening to the preaching and being saved and coming to know the Lord. Where was the sense in taking Philip away from there and sending him away to pursue one man away from the crowds? But this is the Lord's purpose at times. He has a sheep that's to be rescued and to be saved, and it may be that he sends us out just to pursue that one sheep. You notice what it says. It particularly makes a remark about when Philip was sent by the Lord there in verse 26. So the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. Imagine Philip saying, going into the desert. Why am I being sent into the desert? There's a work going on here. Perhaps we find ourselves at times as those that want to serve the Lord and to bear a testimony. We think the Lord's he's put us in a desert. Perhaps we feel we're in a day now of small things and it seems to be like a desert. But perhaps in our own individual lives we say, well, I don't have any opportunities. There's nobody for me to speak to. There's nobody that I can bring this message to. Has the Lord sent you out into a desert place where perhaps there's just one sheep, one individual, one contact that you have that the Lord would have you speak to, and you're the only one out there in that desert place, the only believer that person knows, the only opportunity for that person to hear the word being preached? You know, the Lord sends us out. Sometimes he sends us out into desert places. Sometimes he sends, as we've seen here, out into where the crowds are and great numbers are saved. But the Lord has his purpose. And he it is who directs these things. He it is who sends us out as his emissaries, ambassadors of Christ, to reach the lost. He has a purpose. He's saving his people one by one. And those of us that know and love the Lord, we need to be alert and ready, prepared to bring that word to those that are around, those that perhaps the Lord has commissioned us to speak to and to meet with. But notice how he would have us ready for that. Prepared. Are we prepared to bring a word in season? In season and out of season. At whatever season, whatever opportunity, whatever situation we find ourselves in, are we ready and prepared to bring a word? I wonder if sometimes you think, well, I'm in a place where it is a desert. There's no opportunity. There's nobody that's interested. Nobody wants to know. And we say, we'll let down our guard and we let slip that preparedness of our hearts. We'll let slip that prayerfulness that we might be useful in bringing a word in season. And we need to be those who are ready. Notice how here was Philip. He's not told why he's been sent out. At the beginning here it says that the angel of the Lord just sends Philip. It says, go down this way into the desert. Poor old Philip, he's not told why. You can imagine being puzzled. What's this about? Well, when he gets down there, all he does is see one man. A man perhaps with a great retinue, a man of great authority, sees this man in a chariot. Well, the Spirit has to speak to Philip again. Notice that. In verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near. Join thyself to this chariot. He still hasn't told him exactly what is to do, or what's going to happen. He hasn't told him that there's somebody here that he needs to speak to. He just says, go on. It's like he's encouraging. He says, go on, go near. Go join yourself to this chariot. And sometimes we need to have that preparedness of heart, don't we? When we are out and about, and when we have various contacts, we need the Spirit of the Lord sometimes to cajole us and say, go on, go near, speak to this person. Go near, find out what the need is here. Philip does that, doesn't he? Notice how he goes near then. He joins this chariot. It says he ran thither. There was his enthusiasm to do as the Spirit had bid him. He runs thither, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And here he is ready. Now he knows what he's to do. And immediately he says, do you understand? Do you understand what you're reading? Here's his opportunity to speak to this one. He's reading the scriptures. He'd never have known that before, would he? That the Lord sent into the desert places. The Spirit says, go near to this chariot. Find out what's happening. And he hears and he understands. And he's ready. I wonder if we are in such a spirit as Philip was. Ready to seize the opportunity, ready to see that the Lord has brought us into circumstances where perhaps he would have us bring a word in season to speak to the lost, to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the purpose that the Lord has, and we need to remember that the Lord, since he's gathering his people one by one, since he knows them by name, since the Lord Jesus died for them individually, he's going to deal with them individually, and maybe he'll use us just to speak to one soul, one person in need. And we need to be ready. Ready to speak. Ready to answer. And we confess, don't we, so often, but we're not. So often an opportunity slides by. A conversation arises and you think, well, I should have been ready to speak there. I should have had a prepared word. And we have to confess that so often we don't, do we? So often we don't. And we pray again, oh Lord, give me another opportunity. Let me try again. And the Lord is gracious, but it's his purpose. In his infinite purposes, to use his people to bring the word. We're reminded, aren't we? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Well, we're to pray, aren't we, that the Lord would send out labourers into the vineyard, but into the harvest. But we are, each of us, labourers. We do have a work to do for the Lord. If we're those who love the Lord, that should be our desire, to bring this message to those around. So here's the Lord then. He has a purpose in saving an individual. His purpose is to use his people to do so. But let's come and look then at what it is that is brought. This. What is the message that is brought? And this is the glorious content of what happens here. Because Philip, finding that the eunuch is reading from the book of Isaiah, and he's reading that very particular portion that's set before us, then Philip is able to preach unto him Jesus. He preaches unto him Christ. We notice that's what Philip had always done. That's what all the apostles have done. What's the message that we're to bring to those around? Is it just a message that the Lord is going to meet all their needs and burdens? That the Lord's going to take away all their problems? That the Lord's going to meet some material need or bring health or wealth or prosperity? That's not the message. The message is that the Lord has sent his Son to be a saviour. And it's that there earlier on, Philip had been preaching in Samaria. Notice we saw that in verse 5. He went to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Here, when he meets this Ethiopian and he hears him reading the scriptures, and here's the Ethiopian, he's asking me, who's he speaking about? And he says, he preaches unto him Jesus. He preaches unto him Christ. And that's the great message that we are to bring to those around. There is no other message. There's no other hope to hold out. There's no other word of comfort. are going to point men and women and boys and girls to Christ. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. There need be no concern on our part that when we go out and meet somebody in need, to say, well, I wonder what their need is. We know their need. Their need is to meet the Lord Jesus. Their need is to come to know Him as their Saviour. This God who deals with us individually and personally, who desires that we should come to know Him as individuals, is the one who would have us come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as our Saviour. And if that's what the Lord's purpose is, then we're to preach Christ, to speak of Christ, to point people to Christ. Notice this man. You might outwardly have looked at this Ethiopian and thought, well, what could he possibly need? He's a man of great wealth. It tells us that. A man of great importance. A man of great position, of authority. I think, well, he's not going to want for material things. He's not going to want for a position of esteem in the world. But all these things, they count for nothing before a holy God. We might have the esteem of the world. We might have a position of influence and of authority. That won't count when we stand before God on the day of judgment. We can't stand before the Lord in our wealth and our prosperity and think that that will count for something as a token of His blessing upon us. These things count for nothing. Because in the sight of a holy God, we're all sinners. Sinners in need of forgiveness. Sinners in need of having those sins taken away. Need to be made right in the sight of God. And how are we to know these things? How are we to know forgiveness of sins? How are we to be made right in the sight of a holy God? Only by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is Philip then. He sees this man. He's not interested in the man who has this authority, a man of importance, a man with treasure, guarding the Queen's treasure. He says, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And whoever we meet, young or old, rich or poor, Jew or Gentile, male or female, whatever state they're in, we know their need. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning. If you've not come to Him, you might think you don't need Him. You might be quite happy with your life. You might be quite content with the way things are going. But you need Him. You need this Lord Jesus, because your contentment with your life will stand you in no stead when you stand before a holy God and He summons you into His presence. Unless you come clothed in the righteousness of Christ, in His good deeds, in His righteousness, unless you come with your sins forgiven and washed away in His blood, unless you come confessing that you put your trust in Him, not yourself, not in some other philosophy, not in a good life, but in Him alone. Unless you come in that way, you're lost. And you need to come to Him. Here then is Philip. Brings this message of preaching Christ. We see that he needs this. And he begins at the same scripture. Notice that. Wherever we turn to in the Word of God, we can do that. We can preach Christ. Sometimes we might find it hard to see where the Lord Jesus is, but we're assured that Christ is in all the scriptures. Well, here, Philip had it, as it were, given to him on a plate. Here's the Ethiopian reading from Isaiah 53, that lovely passage that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ who came to suffer and to die for His people. What more wonderful passage could there be to turn to than the one that the man is reading? He doesn't say, well, I'll just let me turn you to another portion. He's able to come to him here and say to him, this is speaking of the Son of God, came into this world to save sinners, and we're all sinners and we need to be saved. Let's just look then briefly at this passage that he's turned to there in verse 32 and 33. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In preaching Christ and speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, you speak of one who willingly offered himself. We're not pointing to a man who was overtaken by events. We're not talking about a man who was an example to us and sadly he was killed by wicked people. We're pointing to one who offered himself, who went willingly to the cross. He went without protesting. He could have called a legion of angels to his rescue. But he went to lay down his life. He was one who laid down his life for his sheep. He is this good shepherd. Here we are, we see him as the shepherd, seeking the one sheep that's wandering, that's lost. He is the shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. He is the one who so loves his people that he came into this world that we might know our sins forgiven. This is the Lord Jesus that we have to preach. He's one who loves us. And we need to remember and to remind people of that. We speak, don't we, of God as a God who is a holy God, a God of wrath and of judgment, and we mustn't hide those things. We mustn't hide from the fact that there's a hell and there's an eternity of judgment for those who have not turned to him. But we see in the Lord Jesus Christ a God of love, a God who sent his Son willingly to suffer in our place. And we look at him and his suffering there, one who went as a lamb, as a sheep to the slaughter. We see somebody who was willing to take our penalty upon himself, willing to take the judgment that we deserve. For if we were to stand before a holy God in our own sins, we could not bear that punishment. An eternity cannot erase the judgment, the punishment that we deserve. But here, his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came and offered himself in our place, came and willingly offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. It's that passage that he's able to speak to there. He goes on, he says, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. We're reminded, aren't we, that in the Lord, when he was taken there to the cross and he was punished and he was judged there at the hands of evil men, there was no true justice in an earthly sense. He was not found guilty of any crime. He was pure, sinless. He was the one that they had to contrive some reason, some excuse for putting him to death. They called false witnesses and were unable to unite together in finding a punishment, a cause for him being punished. Here was one who was sinless. We have set before us when we speak of the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who is the eternal Son of God. Nobody else who's lived in this life is sinless. Nobody else in this world has ever lived a perfect life. But the Lord Jesus Christ has, because he's the eternal Son of God. He came from heaven. He came in eternity past. He was always there. And he came in due time into this world. And he was our Creator. He was the one who spoke these worlds into existence. And they could find nothing wrong with him. No sin in him. No imperfection in him. No cause to put him to death. He offered himself a sacrifice for our sin. He took our sin upon himself. He had none of his own. Here's what we speak of when we speak of Christ. We must speak of him as the eternal Son of God. Pure, sinless, perfect. We must speak of him as the one who offered himself as a sacrifice in our place. The one who took away the punishment that we deserve. Who took our sins upon himself. But then he goes on and he says as well, who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. These are words that speak of the fact that our Lord was raised from the dead and that he ascended into heaven. What a tremendous reminder to us that our Lord was victorious. It wasn't the end when he went to the cross and was crucified. When he died in our place, he achieved something. He took away our wrath. He took away the judgment that we deserve. He took away our sins. He washed them away. And that sacrifice was accepted. He was raised again from the dead. And he's now ascended to the right hand of his Father in glory. Here we speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just as the one who is crucified, but the one who is victorious, the one who accomplished that which he came to do, the one who succeeded in meeting divine justice, the one who satisfied his Father's wrath. These are all the things that we can speak of here, and simply as Philip directs the eunuch here, the Ethiopian, to this passage and speaks of these things, he preaches unto him Jesus, And he speaks of him as our sacrifice, speaks of him as our Saviour, speaks of him as our Lord who's now risen and glorious. What better hope can we have than to be told of such a Saviour? What better thing to speak to men and women and boys and girls about them? This Lord Jesus, who came and died for us as individuals, who laid down his life for us, that we might have everlasting life. What a glorious message it is that we have to preach. And here we find then Philip speaking of these things. He preached unto him Jesus. He talked to him. He explained these things to him. And then finally we see, don't we, the Ethiopian coming to faith, coming to believe in this Lord Jesus. He started out, didn't he, ignorant of these things. He started out wondering what the passage was speaking about. As Philip speaks unto him of Christ, of the Lord Jesus, he comes to faith, he comes to believe, he comes to confess himself that he knows this Lord Jesus. See that confession when he asks, doesn't he, whether he could be baptized, and Philip says there in verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart. You know, the confession here that the Ethiopian was able to make was that it was his heart that was moved. He knew these things in his soul. It's not just an explanation of words that he was reading on the page of the prophet and said, oh, I can see what you're saying, I can see what he's talking about. He knew it in his heart. Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, then you've been changed, you've been saved, you've come to know this Lord Jesus, the one who's now risen and glorious and at his Father's right hand. He's brought you to himself. And here's the Ethiopian able to say that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We ask you this morning, when we hear of Christ and we hear of his work, we hear of him coming from glory, laying down his life for us, does your heart thrill within you? Do you rejoice when you hear these things? Are you able to say, yes, I know that he came to die for me? Are you able to say that you believe with all your heart that these things are true? Because if so, you can rejoice that he's your Saviour, that he's opened your eyes, that he saved you like that lost sheep, carried you home rejoicing, joined you to his family. These are the things that we can know, we can expect, and we seek for. If you've not come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, and just come to him now and you can know these things, you can be able to say, one minute you can say, whereas I was lost and now I've been saved. Here was this Ethiopian before he was, well, we might have said he was perhaps a religious man. We read of him early on, he'd been in Jerusalem to worship. He'd been there, somebody who knew, he knew he had a living God to worship, but he didn't know Christ. But now he's able to say, now I believe, now I know this Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. And he came to die for me. And he came to take away my sins. Are you able to say that this morning? Are you able to confess that this Lord Jesus is your Saviour? And if so, are you able, like Philip, then to go on your way rejoicing? You see that there in verse 39, when they came up out of the water, and there it was the Ethiopian, baptized in obedience to the Lord's command, and Philip clearly, even in that short space of time, has spoken about the Lord's desire that his people should confess through the waters of baptism. Well, he's obedient and he does that, and Philip's caught away, and there it says at the end of verse 39, and he went on his way rejoicing. There's the change that's taken place in this man's life now. He went on his way rejoicing. Well, he's a man that we noticed earlier on in the service. He might have had sadnesses in his life. He was one who was not going to be able to marry. He was in a position there under the queen as the great authority. And there was something in his life that was missing. But now he knows the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows that he's his Saviour. And he's able to go on his way rejoicing. There may be burdens and trials and difficulties ahead, and Philip hasn't misled him. He hasn't told him that now there'll be no difficulties in life. He's told him about Christ. He's told him about the Lord Jesus. He's told him about one who will never leave us, never forsake us, one who, when he came to die for us to wash away our sins, has not then abandoned us. But he's the one who goes with us all through this earthly life. He's the one that we can turn to at every moment. The one who's like that good shepherd who leads his sheep. Having rescued the wandering sheep, gathered us back into his fold, now he leads us. Leads us by the still waters. Leads us to the places of blessing. Leads us into a deeper knowledge of himself. And will take us home one day into glory. There's something to fill us with joy. There's something to take us through all the circumstances of our lives, whatever they may hold. And they may hold trials. And they may hold great sadnesses. And maybe lives filled with sorrow and difficulties. But if the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save us, we know that he loves us. And if he loves us, that's a love that can never be taken away. And we can know that he means it when he speaks of these things. And that we can be filled with rejoicing. Well, may each of us here this morning know this rejoicing. The rejoicing at knowing sins forgiven. The rejoicing at knowing that Jesus Christ is our Saviour. And that he'll never leave us, nor forsake us. Amen. Well, let's pray together. Oh Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, how we thank thee for the reminder of the Lord Jesus Christ as that only hope that we have, our only Saviour, that only name that has been given to us among men whereby we must be saved. And Lord, how we pray that each of us here this morning may be able to testify of a truth that we believe with all our hearts, that we've come to know this Lord Jesus, come to trust in him, and we know that he loves us. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the reminder of those who've been saved in times past. We think of this man who was saved, a testimony of his confession of faith in the Lord Jesus. And oh, how we thank thee that thou art still the same mighty Saviour. Thou art still the one reaching out to the lost. And we pray, Lord, that thou continue to do a great work here even this day. Even perhaps this hour. Oh, may there be some that will be turning to thee. Coming to know thee as their Saviour. Coming to rejoice that they have known sins forgiven. Lord, we thank thee that we are able to rejoice this day. Those that know and love thee. That thou art a great God. That thou art a merciful God. That thou hast done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. And we love thee because thou hast first loved us. May indeed we truly love thee and serve thee and seek to bring this message of salvation to those around. By thy help and thy strength we pray these things, and we look to thee. Pray thou hear us in our Saviour's name. Amen. Well, let's sing.